Friends, let's pray. God, thank you for the wonderful gift of baptism, for the washing of the water, for the new birth in the Spirit for Andres. God, we pray that you'd bless him and make him mighty as a disciple of yours. Use him to bring other people to yourself, we pray. God, may we all be encouraged, all of us who stand in this room today, to remember by the celebration of this great gift how your blood was shed for all of us. And that in faith we also are washed, cleaned, made new as white as snow. God, we thank you for all the ways that your work is manifest in our midst and for your Spirit, which is so good and so powerful among us. God, we thank you in our hearts right now. Each one of you, please let it come into your hearts the way that you're thankful to God. Oh, for the many blessings you give us, O Lord, we are so thankful. For the way that you've been growing each one of us here in this place, for the ways that you've been encouraging and building us up, for the ways that you've been helping us where we are needy, for the ways that you've been strengthening us where we are weak, for the places that you've encouraged us where we are downtrodden, for the places that you've given us strength where we're failing, we thank you. We pray now as we continue to worship in your name that you would pour your Spirit out on us and fill us, and that you would be building us up as we meet around your scriptures. God, we need you. We know this more than we know almost anything else. God, those of us who are far from you, I pray that your Spirit would come close and bring them near in this moment. And those of us who are close to you, that we would be renewed once again in your sense, in a sense of your love for us and your power. As we gather around your scriptures now, we pray that you would build us up. And we ask for this for all that you've gathered, and we pray for this in Jesus' good and holy name. And all God's people said, amen. Go ahead and grab a seat. Did you hear some of the little kids, when that thing went up, say, what? Where did that come from? Some of you others didn't know that that was back there, but let's change that, shall we? If there's another one of you who wants to be baptized, you say so. We're so glad, and I am so glad that you're here. If you're new, my name is Christian. And we're gathered together now, in this moment, around the scriptures to grow. We believe that Jesus called people to himself, and when he brought them near, he meant for them to be changed and to grow in his presence. And we're together tonight to hear from him what he has made us to be. This world that we find ourselves in will tell us, each one of us, in very distinct ways, who we are. And many of us will struggle to try to make our own identity, and we will find ourselves disappointed over and over again. Thank goodness the scriptures teach us that we don't have to make our own identity up, but instead, God himself has given us a new person. When we're born in him, we're made new. And we come around his word and we hear from him that we have from him a new identity. And what I want to do now is to bring us again to the scriptures to hear as clearly as we can what he means to teach us about who he's made us to be. That phrase that you see up there, what he has made us, there's a passage in Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus where he tells the people there that we are what he has made us. And then he goes on to say that in Christ Jesus, every one of us has been created for good works. And that statement that Paul wrote long ago is about us now as much as it was about those people a long time ago. And that means that each one of you here, you have been made by God for a specific purpose. And he goes on to say that we were made for good works that God had in mind beforehand when he created us. And that raises the question of who am I? Who has God made us to be? And tonight we will consider the second image in a series of 10. And what we will learn about tonight is how to think of ourselves along the lines of this second image, and it is the image of a sheep. The animal that is mentioned most in the Bible is, it's not a narwhal. Some of you were thinking that. It's a sheep. And the corresponding image of the shepherd is mentioned almost as frequently, and this is partly due to the setting in which the Bible was written. Back then, you couldn't go anywhere without hearing or seeing or smelling a flock of sheep and seeing the shepherd doing his work. But that's not the main reason why that image is so prominent in the Bible. It's rather everywhere all over the scriptures for the very simple fact that sheep and shepherds provide abundant metaphorical material for spiritual realities. And that's due to the fact that sheep, as creatures who are social and who have certain characteristics, are in many ways like us. And shepherds who care for them and look after them are in many ways like God. And so together we are going to look at that image and ask the question, what if I were to think of myself as a sheep? And I promise you that if you will do this, you will change and grow as a follower of Christ's as you learn about yourself as a sheep and Christ as a shepherd. Now, as I said, that image is all over the Bible. If you were to read the Old Testament, you'll find it in the poetry of the Psalms. Some of you know some of the most beloved poems in Psalms are about sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. You go on from there, you read the major prophets. In those books, we hear about sheep and about shepherd, and the minor prophets as well. If you read all the way through the Old and get into the New, you will find that in that book also that image is used frequently. And when you come to listen to the words of Jesus, whatever you think about him, when you hear him speak, you will hear out of his mouth words again about us being sheep and about his being the shepherd. I want you to look with me at the text that's going to lead us tonight, just from one chapter in the book of John, John chapter 10. If you're familiar with that book and that chapter, you know that there's a long discussion there in which Jesus talks about himself and us. But for tonight, I want you to look with me at just two verses from that chapter. In that 10th chapter of John, Jesus, speaking to the disciples gathered, speaking to a group like us, said these words about himself, and then he told them about themselves. In verse 11, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. That's verse 27. In these two verses, and in the chapter as a whole, we learn how to think of ourselves along the lines that the scriptures teach us to think, that we are what God has made us, and what he has made us is sheep. And that tells us about us, and it also tells us about him as we see this image, which teaches us about a shepherd and about sheep. Let's start tonight thinking about sheep. The simple fact about sheep is this: they are needy. They need assistance. They are not independent creatures. Without help, they will not make it. If they don't have guidance and the presence of a good shepherd, they will fall to pieces. I'm talking about sheep. I'm talking about us. Sheep are all of these things for one simple reason. They are not that bright. Now, don't get angry at me. Look at this. If you're listening to this sermon on the internet, we are looking at a picture of a sheep with a bucket stuck on his head. Now, that sheep there can't see anything, won't be able to eat anything, will have no idea where to go, and the reason is he got overexcited about the snacks that were in that bucket or overcurious. We don't know for sure, but do you notice that he stands there in a way almost as if nothing's wrong? Do you see that? Because he has adapted himself to life with a bucket on his head. He can't see, he won't be able to eat or communicate, he has no idea where to go, and he has quickly become okay with that. Already this image gives us information about ourselves. I'm serious. Think about it for a moment. Don't you get your head stuck in things that trap you so you have no idea where to go? Don't you find yourself adapting to a life that if you were to step back for a moment and say, is this how it's supposed to be? And if you had any sense at all, you'd say, of course it's not supposed to be like this. But don't you find yourself just standing there as if, I guess this is what it will always be? This sheep here needs help. He needs someone to come and take the bucket off his head, or else he will go on living a truncated existence from now on. He will go on living in the dark from now on. He will go on living cut off from society, from relationships that will be nurturing, from the nourishment that he needs, unless someone comes along and helps him. This image of a sheep has a lot to teach us about ourselves. Don't you see it already? It's not just that the bucket is stuck on his head. There are many things about the sheep that the first hearers of Jesus' words and those early readers would have known that would have opened up the metaphor for them so that they would stand to learn by it. If they would think of themselves as sheep, as Jesus meant them to, knowing what they did about sheep, they would grow. Let me tell you a few things about sheep. Now, I want to show you this before I get into it. There's a book that my wife recommended to me. It's called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, and it was written by Phil Keller. He was a man who was a shepherd in Northeast Africa for about 8 years, and then he became a pastor. Has anyone else read this book aside from my wife? It's a wonderful book, isn't it? I take this time to point it out because if you would take your time to read this, you'd grow. In this book, the author, who was a shepherd for years, he points out some basic things about sheep that help us understand better why that metaphor is so helpful for us. Here's the first thing. Sheep need help because they're vulnerable. They have lots of natural predators and then unnatural predators, and they don't have many defenses. There are cougars in the environment they find themselves in, coyotes, wild dogs, and these are very threatening to them. There are sheep rustlers in those days, thieves who would come in and steal them. There are all kinds of parasites, and there's gruesome detail in the book. Some of them go into the noses of the sheep and they lay eggs there, and so that the sheep just do this until they go nuts. It's pretty gruesome. There are flies that sting them. There's all kinds of things that come up against these sheep, and the fact about the sheep is they don't have any defenses against these predators, and so they need help. Do you find yourself threatened by things in your environment that you're outside, that are outside of your control? Are you aware of that? I know that it's easy to adapt to life as it's not supposed to be, but when you stop and think about it, there are many things that are outside of your control that are threatening to you, that are the things that would come into life and rob you of true existence of life, and you need to be protected by them. And if you're not protected, you'll be in trouble just as the sheep. There's a second thing that this author points out about sheep. In addition to being vulnerable, and because they're vulnerable, in fact, sheep are very prone to being afraid. And because of that, they make many decisions based on fear in life. Are you afraid of things? I know some people that are close to me are very in touch with the fact that over and over again, they are driven by fear in life. It's like this with sheep. They're very afraid and jittery, and it's because they can't defend themselves from anything. Think for a moment how often you are pushed to make decisions in life, not because you're courageous or strong or you want to go in the right direction, but because you're afraid of something bad happening to you. Because of this, there's a third thing about sheep. Because they're vulnerable and because they're afraid, they are very apt to be influenced by the herd. They exhibit very strong mob mentality. You hear me talking about sheep or about people? The author tells a story of the sheep together, and then behind this one little shrub, there's a tiny little jackrabbit that bounces out. And this one sheep gets scared and just bolts. And do you know what the rest of the herd does? They all start running too. And in just a few seconds, the entire herd is galloping off away from what they don't know. They're running away and they're afraid, but they have no idea what they're running from. And here they go, bolting away from a little tiny jackrabbit into danger because they are so influenced by the sheep around them. And here's the third thing for you. Sheep make decisions about how to feel, how to behave, which way to go, what to do, based on what the sheep around them are doing. Again, do you hear how Jesus is teaching us not just about animals on a hill, but about ourselves? If you would think for a moment of yourself as a sheep, you would see, I believe, the fact that you're vulnerable and that you need help, that you're afraid many times, and you make decisions based on fear, and that more than you wish, you are apt to make decisions based on what the sheep around you are doing. Do you know this? About how to seek friends by the way that your friends behave. About how to pursue a career by just what people around you seem to think a good career is. How to make decisions about issues that are big public issues in the social stratosphere based on what people are saying out there about this or that issue. How to use the money that you have, or how to think about your resources based on all the people around you. How to feel either confident and strong or weak and helpless based on all of the people around you, rather than looking to the other place where you can look, which is away from the sheep, and then to the other image that we have here, and that is the shepherd. I think one of the most helpful things that we can do when we begin to see what sheep are like is to recognize this fourth thing about them. That the well-being of sheep depends almost entirely upon one thing. It's the quality of their shepherd. Think of this for a minute. This will not occur as immediately to us as it will to somebody who has experience with sheep. But the fact is, sheep will thrive, will grow strong, will be confident, will be loving to each other, will grow and multiply as long as they have a few basic needs met. If they're protected, if they have good grass and good water to drink, and if they're kept safe from all of the threats out there. And there's only one thing that can do that for them, and it's their shepherd. If their shepherd is invested, and if he gives himself to the task of protecting them and feeding them, they will be absolutely fine. And if the shepherd, on the other hand, doesn't care really about them and isn't invested in them and doesn't really care too much about what happens to them, then they will shrivel up and they'll continue to live maybe, but their lives will be absolutely miserable. There are, in fact, many wonderful descriptions in this book of the sheep who live in a shepherd with a shepherd who doesn't really care for them. Vivid depictions of them standing on barren ground, looking off into other pastures, wishing that they could only have what they needed to eat and to grow and to thrive. And the truth about me and about you is whether we thrive or not will largely depend on who our shepherd is. Now, I want you to look at the text again with me for a moment in John 10. Jesus, speaking to the disciples, said, "I am the good shepherd." Jesus knew, as his first hearers would have known, that the images of the shepherds in the Old Testament not only included pictures of God as the shepherd, but also descriptions of the religious leaders of the people of Israel who failed to lead the people well, and they were called bad shepherds. These were men in ancient Israel who were responsible for overseeing the needs of God's people gathered together, who were meant very simply to bring those people to God and bring God to those people. But over and over again, these religious leaders were self-centered. They used their positions of power to enrich themselves and neglected the people. And as a result, the people suffered. And when the prophets looked at that, they said, "The trouble here is that these are bad shepherds." Let me ask you for just a moment, have you ever suffered under a religious leader who was a bad shepherd? I'm feeling very self-conscious. Someone's thinking to me, he's such a... Listen, many times in the history of God's people, the leaders, the men who were put in positions of authority, especially in the Old Testament, they failed to be the kinds of shepherds that the people needed. They failed over and over again. It's true, and it's a sad fact, that in our own day, and even in our own community, there will be many times where people who are put in positions of leadership will fail as shepherds. And when that happens, that's terrible. The prophets of the Old Testament, they saw this repeated cycle of the need of the people. People who were desperately lost were like sheep with buckets on their heads and just needed someone to come and help them. They saw that over and over again. They saw people appointed to be leaders also failing. And what they did is when they listened to God, they heard God's voice say this. Listen to this. They heard God's voice say, "I've seen my people like sheep without a shepherd, and I know what I'm going to do. I will become the shepherd of my people." All the way back in Ezekiel's mouth, those words came out as he spoke for the Lord. He looked at the people suffering and said, one day God is going to come himself and be the shepherd of the people. He saw the way that the people who were hired to lead, they didn't care deeply for the people that they were meant to care for. When they were threatened, they turned the other way and ran to protect themselves. But God said, "I am going to become the shepherd myself." And now, do you hear what Jesus is saying when he says, "I am the good shepherd"? He is telling us, all of us, not just that we're sheep, but that we have a shepherd. And we have a shepherd who is not like the hired hand who will be invested just a little bit, but who is so invested in the well-being of his flock that there is no distance that he will not go to protect them. And that's what Jesus means when he says, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Do you know what Jesus is talking about here in the 10th chapter of John? He is talking about what is going to happen at the end of that book. At the end of every gospel, we see that Jesus' life leads him through teaching and encouraging and equipping and growing the disciples, and his life ends on the cross. And it ends there in terms of our metaphor, because here we see how far the good shepherd has gone to love and care for and nurture and save his flock. Jesus is the shepherd who's died for us, his sheep. And in that environment, they would have known that occasionally the threats to the flock are so great that the shepherd has to choose between the life of his flock or his own life. And what Jesus wants us to know is that when it comes to the threats that would ruin us, which the greatest threat of all is the threat of sin and death, that Jesus has interposed himself for us like a shepherd for his flock, and he has died for us to save us. And that's how far he's gone. When you think of yourself as a sheep, you are meant to think of Jesus as the shepherd. When you think of yourself as a sheep, you're meant to see yourself as someone who's been rescued. How? By the blood of the good shepherd. And my friends, that is the beautiful good news in this image. Isn't it good? Amen. Amen. Now listen, I put that second verse up there for a reason. I put the first verse up there, verse 11, to say very plainly that you and I are sheep, and Jesus the good shepherd has died for us, and he has done that, and that is true. It has been accomplished. It has been finished. Your sin is washed away. You are completely free. You are his little lamb. My mouth watered when I said lamb. You're his. But do you know what? This shepherd, he's gentle. And you will grow and you will flourish as his little lamb, as his sheep. Look at verse 27. When you hear his voice and then follow him. Who said amen? Yes. You said amen because it's true, isn't it? Because Jesus speaks and we can choose to listen or we can choose to disregard what he says. At the end of the wonderful Sermon on the Mount, he has this image of two houses. Do any of you know that? The house built on sand and the house built on rock. The house built on sand will fall apart when things get difficult. The house built on sand will remain even when storm comes. And do you remember what I say? This is my wife. Thanks. High five. The house built on rock will stand. And Jesus, the difference between the two, do you remember what Jesus says it is? The one built on rock is the person who hears his voice and does what he says. If you bring that metaphor into the sheep imagery, if the sheep don't listen to the shepherd's voice and he says, don't go there, come here, they will not benefit from his good guidance. I am talking about you again, and what I want for all of us to do is to grow as followers of Christ. And if we think about ourselves as sheep, we will only grow as his followers when we learn to hear his voice and to go where he calls. Do you hear that? There's two parts to that. Learn to hear his voice. Some of you have not heard enough of Jesus' voice to know what he says, and so you are going to be at a loss to follow him. And so all you need is to hear his voice. And the truth about sheep is when they spend time around the shepherd, their specific shepherd, over time they learn to recognize his voice, and when he calls, even if they're far away, they recognize his voice and they come when he calls. Do you know that that's true? Do you believe me? I heard that. I wasn't sure. So you know where I went? The YouTube. And I went there, and I did. And there's an old man from the Faroe Islands. This is like north of Denmark. And he's standing. It's a cool video. You can look it up. Sheep hear the shepherd's voice. He's standing with his back to the camera, and you see this hill going up, and there's fog. You can't see any sheep. You just see like this hill that goes up for hundreds of yards, and then this cloud. And this old man in his Nordic voice starts going, and he looks at the camera, and he goes like this. He goes, and then he does it again. And then he just stands there for a while. And then all of a sudden, in the distance, in the clouds, you hear. And then this herd of hundreds of sheep come running down and they gather around him. He takes out his knapsack and he has like a bag of salt and he puts it on the ground. They all start chowing down and he looks like this. And then he says something in Nordic, which I think is, the sheep know the voice of the shepherd. It's true. But they know it when they hear it, and they have to hear it over time. It has to get into them. And if they hear it, when he calls, they come, and then they don't have a bucket on their head anymore. And then they thrive. And then they live, and they can be good in the world. And that's what God wants for you and for me. Then their life has purpose and meaning. Listen, some of you in here, you've heard the voice of the shepherd. You need to be refreshed again and get to know it and start to listen again. Some of you have never heard it. You're here, you're thinking, I'm not sure if I'm into this. It's okay, please stay around, listen. His voice is good. I want to tell you what it looks like when a Christian becomes a sheep who recognizes his voice. Let me tell you this. It looks different. A person who knows the shepherd's voice and lives in the world looks a lot different than everybody else. Do you know what I mean? I've heard many times people who are skeptical about faith say Christians are no different than other people. They're just a bunch of hypocrites. Have you ever heard that? Do you know how sometimes that's awfully true? But the truth about a sheep who really knows the shepherd's voice is they look different. In Philadelphia, I lived there 15 years ago, and there was a guy named Leonard. And he was a Christian, and he was a Christian who knew the shepherd's voice. He knew Jesus' voice. He knew it so well, it was inside of him, and it changed the way he lived. One Friday night, I was sitting on the porch of the house we lived at on South Farragut Terrace. Leonard was still at school. We worked at this school called Cornerstone Christian Academy. And the reason he was still there is he was friends with the janitor and he helped out after all the other interns bailed to get home. I was sitting there and smelling spaghetti and meatballs. Friday night was family dinner night at our house. The interns all ate together on that night. And as I was sitting there, I looked up the street and it was dark already, but there under the streetlight, I saw Leonard. He walked up, came up the stairs, and I could immediately see that he wasn't well. Leonard, what's wrong? I asked. He stopped and he stood right there and he said, I think I've just been mugged. I said, what happened? I was about halfway home. A man came out from a dark alley and he stuck a gun in my side and he asked for my wallet. Yes, that's the definition of a mugging. I stood up and I said, well, I'll go call the police. He said, no, don't. And I said, what happened? He said, I gave him my wallet. And there wasn't much money inside. He took it, and then he gave it back to me. He needed it way more than I did. And I recognize right now that he was actually not shaken up because his money had been taken, but he was concerned for this man. I said, did he hurt you? He said, he gave me my wallet back, and he shoved me because he was mad. And then he turned around to walk away. But I stopped him. I said, wait a minute. And I rolled up my sleeve, and I gave him my watch. And then he said, and I put my hand on his shoulder, and I said, would you please come with me back to my house and have dinner with me and my friends, because tonight we share dinner together, and I think you could use it. And he said, the man looked ashamed, and he turned, and he ran away. Why? Why would a man do that? Why would Leonard have done that? And I'll tell you, the answer is because he had in his heart the voice of the shepherd. Leonard heard and knew the voice of Jesus. Listen to these words. I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. That's the voice of the Good Shepherd. And of course, Leonard and any other man or woman would have in their own head the voice of many other shepherds. If someone's bad to you, strike them back. If someone asks you for something, tell them to get away from you. I've worked hard for this. If someone's cruel to you, be cruel back. That's the voice of the bad shepherd. But this man, Leonard, was a sheep who had in his heart the voice of the good shepherd. Do you know that it's very unlikely that anyone here is going to get mugged after church tonight? That's probably not going to happen. Do you agree? I hope there's no opportunists here who, after this sermon, try to steal money from people. But you will, before this day is done, be in a situation where you will find yourself in conflict that will feel to you like you're being mugged. You will. And the question is, Are you going to respond to the voice of the bad shepherd or the good shepherd? You're going to have a conflict with someone in your family, and then in your head, you're going to say, remember that terrible thing she did last summer? It's a good idea for you to bring that up right now. Isn't she an awful lot like her mom? Tell her that now. This is the voice of the bad shepherd. I hear someone going, oh, right? That's the voice of the bad shepherd. The voice of the good shepherd says, you have heard an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I tell you, turn the other cheek. A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. That's the voice of the good shepherd. And the question for every sheep is, whose voice am I going to listen to? It may not be that you're in a fight like this. Maybe you are going to leave tonight and tomorrow you are going to find yourself thinking of a very good thing that you're sure you should do. Maybe it's a conversation with a friend about faith and you know that God is saying, you should talk to them about how much you love me. Tell them about me. Or maybe it's some resource that you have that God wants you to share with his people. Or maybe it's some action that you've been slow to do in the past, but now you know you should do it. And there is going to be a voice in you that says, do it later. Don't do it right now. It's not convenient. Why don't you wait a little bit? Talk to that person about God tomorrow. Or do that good thing the next day. Of course, you know you should read your Bible, but why not wait until you have a little more free time? That is the voice of the bad shepherd named procrastination. And that shepherd will keep you day after day from finding the nourishment that you need as a sheep. But then there's the voice of the good shepherd, and he says, leave the dead to bury their own dead. Don't go look at the field that you bought. Don't wait until you get those other things in order. Follow me right now. Do it. That's the good shepherd. It will happen over and over again. It might not be a fight with your family. It might not be procrastination. It might be, ready for this? Actually, I guarantee you, it will be conflict for you with someone in this church. If you stay around in a church for more than a few weeks, someone in that community will annoy you and make you mad, and it will be their fault. They will have done something wrong. They will have sinned against you. Amen, church people? Yes? Right? And the voice of the bad shepherd will say to you, grab a friend, another friend, take them aside and say, would you be willing to pray for me? And then tell them all about how awful that other person is. And, oh, drink it up. Talk about their failures, about their shortcomings, about their how far behind they are as a disciple. Talk about their miserable failure. Get together and say, oh, I can't believe that this church is such and such. And just drink it up. That's what the bad shepherd is going to tell you to do. Do you know what the good shepherd says about that? Does anybody know? Help me out here. What's that? He doesn't say that. What does he say? If someone in the community sins against you, go to them. Now, I'm not asking you to do this to show off, but this is the question for all of us. Do we have the voice of the good shepherd in us as much as the voice of all the other shepherds? And that's a very practical question. Because as long as we follow the bad shepherds that are all around us and inside of us, we will never grow as followers of Christ any more than a sheep who has to live life on her own or on his own will grow and flourish as a sheep. This flock will shrink up and fall to pieces unless we become sheep who know the voice of the shepherd and then follow where he leads. Worry? He has things to say about that. Anxiety, he has lots to say about that. Forgiveness, oh, the shepherd had many things to say about forgiveness. Using your resources for the people around you and how to relate to the things you have, he had plenty to say about that too. There's almost nothing of importance that you can face in life that the good shepherd doesn't have something to say to you. And listen, this is the very simple message of the image of the sheep. It is, will you learn his voice and then follow when he calls? I will tell you this. If you will do what he says, you will thrive. And we will thrive as a community. And thriving means growing to be people who are what he has made us. And let me ask you, do you remember what he has made us? He has created us in Christ Jesus for what? Good works. That is to do the good things that he wants us to do in the world. How will you grow in this way? Okay, it's time to get practical. How many of you read the little daily milk deliveries on the internet this past week? I want to ask you, were those good for you? I did them each day and read those words from the scriptures, and it built me up. And did that for you too, didn't it? We are going to go back to the internet. I can't believe I'm doing this. I hate the internet, but I'm putting it out there for you. This week, we are going to have voice lessons. And you are going to be invited each day through and you don't need the internet for this, by the way. You can just use the Bible that's sitting like at home. But we're going to have them for you. You click on this button, it's going to be, Matt, what's it going to look like?
It says, voice of the shepherd.
And is it going to be a sheep?
Yeah.
And he does not have a bucket on his head, does he? No. He's got a tag on his ear, earmarked. Okay. And you will go there and you will have the freedom each morning to simply read what this good shepherd says. And then it is up to you to choose to become a person who learns to recognize his voice and then to do what he says. And if you will, I believe that you will thrive as you were meant to, as his sheep. I want to ask the musicians to come forward as I pray. Let's pray. God, for this second image for followers of yours, we give you thanks. We thank you because we are not left alone as sheep, but instead we are given the very best guidance and protection and care and nurturing from the Good Shepherd, yourself. God, I ask that you'd help each one of us become people who learn day by day to recognize your voice more and then to follow, to hear your words and to take them into our hearts so that we become people who respond to every challenge we face, not with our own impulses, not listening to the voices of all the bad shepherds around us, but instead listening to you, the voice of the very good shepherd, who will guide and direct us in the ways that we need. God, I thank you, lastly, for this great community that you've given me the freedom to be a part of. I thank you for all of the other sheep that I know in this place, and I ask that more and more you would help us grow into a community that is effective at helping people know you and follow you, and then I pray that we would work together effectively at sharing you with other people in Monmouth County, inviting and inspiring others to follow you. And I pray for this in your name, and all God's sheep said, amen.